Chapter 12. Passion. After leaving Miriam, Paul turned almost immediately to Clara. One evening, they went to the cinema, and he took her hand in his. She neither moved nor made any sign. On Saturday evening, he invited her to have coffee with him after work. Afterwards, they walked for a little in the park, and in the darkness, he caught her suddenly in his arms and kissed her. For the whole of the next day, he only thought of seeing her again. Monday was his half day at work. He asked her if she would come out with him. They agreed to meet at 2:30. In the bus, she leaned against him, and he took her hand. They got out beside the river and crossed the bridge. They walked along the path above the river and came to a locked gate. Paul climbed over first. Then Clara climbed up onto it, and he held both her hands. Laughing, she looked down into his face. Then she jumped. Her breast came against his. He held her and covered her face with kisses. They decided to go down to the river's edge below. Slipping and sliding, they made their way to the bottom of the steep, wooded bank. Paul found a flat place at the foot of two trees. It was covered with wet leaves, but it would do. He threw down his raincoat and waved to her to come. She sank down at his side. He pressed his lips to her throat and felt the beat of her blood under his lips. Everything was perfectly still. There was nothing in the afternoon but themselves. They had a steep climb to get back to the public path at the top. Then they walked into Clifton and had tea at a guest house. He was madly in love with her now. Every movement she made, every fold in her clothes sent a thrill through him. Mrs. Morell was sitting reading when he got home. "You're late," she said, looking at him. His eyes were shining. His face seemed to glow. "Yes. I've been down at Clifton Grove with Clara. She's awfully nice, Mother. Would you like to know her?" "Yes," said Mrs. Morell coolly. "I should like to know what she's like."
"You don't expect to like her," said Paul. "I'll bring her here on Sunday for tea. Shall I bring her?"
"You please yourself," said Mrs. Morell, laughing.
Paul knew that he had won. He mentioned to Miriam that Clara was coming to tea on Sunday. "I want my mother to meet her," he added.
"Ah." There was a silence. "I may call in before I go to the church service," Miriam said. "It's a long time since I saw Clara."
"Very well," said Paul, surprised and unconsciously angry. On the Sunday afternoon, Paul met Clara at Keston Station. Clara followed Paul into the house. Mrs. Morell rose. The younger woman was very nervous.
"I hope you don't mind my coming," she said hesitatingly. "I was pleased when Paul said he would bring you," replied Mrs. Morell.
Looking at Paul, she thought what a man he looked in his dark, well-made clothes. Her heart glowed. She and Clara started talking about Nottingham. Clara still rather nervous, Mrs. Morell still rather proud. But they were getting on well together, Paul saw. Mrs. Morell measured herself against the younger woman and found herself easily the stronger. Clara was very respectful. She knew how highly Paul thought of his mother, and she had been fearful of this meeting, expecting someone hard and cold. She was surprised to find this little, interested woman chatting so easily with her. At tea, the atmosphere was cool and clear, where everyone was themselves and in tune with the others. Afterwards, Paul cleared the table, then walked into the garden, leaving the two women to talk. Clara offered to help wash the dishes and was allowed to dry the tea things. It was painful for her not to be able to follow him into the garden, but at last she allowed herself to go. She went to Paul, who was watching the bees among the autumn flowers. At that moment, Miriam was entering through the garden gate. She saw Clara go up to Paul, saw him turn, and saw them move together. Something in the relationship told her that they were already a couple. They were looking into each other's eyes, laughing. At that moment, they became conscious of Miriam, and everything changed. Miriam shook hands with Clara, saying, "It seems strange to see you here." "Yes," replied the other. "It seems strange to be here." There was a pause. "It is pretty, isn't it?" said Miriam. "I like it very much," said Clara. Then Miriam realized that Clara was accepted here as she could never be. She asked Paul for a book to read. He ran indoors to find one. When he returned, Clara turned to go indoors, leaving him to walk with Miriam to the gate. "When will you come to Willey Farm?" Miriam called to her. "I couldn't say," replied Clara. "Mother asked me to say she'd be pleased to see you any time." "Thank you, but I can't say when." "Oh, very well," said Miriam with some bitterness, and left. That evening, the lovers went out over the fields. Clara leaned against him as they walked, and he held her closer and closer. Suddenly, Paul's blood flamed up in him. He caught her in his arms and kissed her again and again. But she was worried about catching her train. They had only 14 minutes to get to the station, so they ran madly through the darkness. Away to the right, they could see the lit-up train approaching. At last, Clara fell into the train, completely out of breath. The whistle blew. She was gone. Before he knew where he was, he found himself back home in the kitchen. "Do you like her?" he asked his mother, rather unwillingly. "Yes, I like her. But you'll get tired of her, my son. You know you will. You better take some hot milk." He refused and went to bed, feeling confused and angry.